Welcome to the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast for women of faith in business looking to take their careers or businesses to the next level without compromising their faith. If you're ready to begin taking action on your entrepreneurship goals, learn tips, tools, and strategies to execute consistently and manifest the life of your dreams, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Halima de Oliveira, business strategist, three-time author, using the fusion of faith and finances to lead female-led e-commerce brands to six and seven-figure revenue targets annually. Ready? Let's work. Tune into today's episode, Already in Progress. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast. This is episode 60. It is entitled Legacy Guiding the End of Life Conversation. So I am here today with our guest, Tahira Talabdin. She is the founder and CEO of Hearts Connecting LLC. It's a professional online funeral and memorial facilitation company. After losing a loved one, Hearts Connecting's goal is to connect family and friends and paying their respects from anywhere in the world. She is a trailblazing. I love this word. Trailblazing the funeral industry and being the first Muslim and African-American woman to pioneer virtual funeral and memorial services. So Tahira is in a league of her own. Get it, sis. She also founded Muslim Widow, a grief recovery workshop and support group for Muslim women and women of faith. This is the only workshop and support group that exists for Muslim widows globally. Mashallah. She is also the first place prize winner in the Operation Hope pitch contest, winning $15,000. Repeat that again, $15,000 in prize money. She is also the winner of the 15-week Build Your Boss Biz grant program, $1,500 grant. And she crowdfunded on LaunchGood and raised over $20,000 in 30 days in support of Muslim Widow Support Group and raised awareness about the Hearts Connecting and virtual funeral and janazah services and so much more. And I just want to say this total just because I want to empower and encourage women that when you want something, when you would say your bismillah, you say your dua, and then you move your feet, you can do impossible things or seemingly impossible things. Tahira has raised almost $40,000 in a month. In a month. SubhanAllah, right? Not that we're counting. I just happen to know because I'm in the background, right? Just, you know, she's kind of, you know, she gives me little notes. Hey, Halima, this happened. So, you know, for me, it's important to showcase what women are doing and what they're capable of doing if they just put their minds to it. So a total of almost $40,000 for her business, mashallah. She has taken this life-altering experience, which we'll learn about more in today's episode, combined with her 15 years of success coaching and leadership experience to create a life-changing coaching program called Transcending Grief Through Growth for those who have lost loved ones. So the sky is the limit for our sister, for the creative excellence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed Tahira with, and she is a true believer in the signs of Allah. From Allah, for Allah provides sustenance to whom he pleases without measure. Assalamu alaikum, Tahira. How are you, darling?
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises due to Allah. I'm here and I'm grateful. I'm here and I am grateful. Alhamdulillah. Wow.
Alhamdulillah. So we're just gonna get right into this.
Yes, let's go. Let's go.
Say that again.
I said, let's go.
Let's go. Let's get it right. This particular episode and topic was extremely important to me when I first actually talked to Tahira. So when she first came and, you know, came and said, hey, this is what I'm looking to do, you know, and she came into the 15-week program, I was like, okay, we've got to give this sister a platform. We've got to give her the mic for so many reasons, right? And COVID has shed a lot of light on this particular topic and also topics that surround it. So I think that it's extremely important to be talking to you because I feel like more of us need to be talking about this, and we need to be looking for services like yours, you know, to support, you know, our community and also people of other faith communities. So Tahira, tell us a little bit more about Hearts Connecting LLC, kind of how you got started. And, you know, this is a business that was created inside COVID. So I want this story to inspire people that if they've had some ideas about businesses inside COVID, she is a shining example of what is possible, even in the midst of so-called turmoil, right? So what are your plans for your business? And like I said, tell us a little bit more about it, inshallah.
Okay, great, inshallah. Well, you know, in December of 2012, I moved from Harlem, New York to California to marry my husband.
Turn your mic up just a tad if you can.
Okay. You see? How is that? Is that better? Okay, good. Great. I'm like, oh no, is that on mute? Okay, good. So in December of 2012, I moved from Harlem, New York to California to marry my husband, Antar Jana. But on July 30th of 2020, at the height of the pandemic, Antar passed away. And I was devastated due to his passing. I had to bury my husband without my family by my side due to travel restrictions. So I asked one of my close friends to record his service. And later that evening, I watched the recording and I shared it with friends and family. And it brought so much comfort to my heart. And that's when this seed of Hearts Connecting was planted. So due to my husband's passing, Allah allowed for me, Allah gave me this gift, gave me this gift to provide solutions for those who cannot attend a loved one's funeral. As you are aware, and all of us are aware, that when COVID hit, people could not even be by their loved one's side to say their final goodbyes. People had to bury their loved ones, maybe just one or two family members there. So this was a gift from Allah to me due to the passing of my husband. And that's how the company started. And I was interviewed last week on another Instagram platform, and I shared that, you know, like 90% of this is coming from Allah, and like it's 10% of my effort, because it's something that because you have to put the effort forth, right? But I just never imagined that I would have been doing a business such as this, something that is so unique, and that's providing great value. So this is truly a gift from Allah, from the sacrifices that were made when my husband was ill for that year and a half. And you know, Halima, like how we both attended similar conferences together in our career and our industry. And I was ready to take my career on and my business on by storm. But when my husband got ill, I put my husband first as I should. And it was nothing that I felt it was an inconvenience or I hesitated to do it. It was the thing to do. It was no brainer. But I had to say no, and not now, to my own endeavors. And due to me, I really believe in my heart, like due to me being dutiful and faithful to a lost servant, because my husband was a lost servant. Allah is just blessing. He's sending blessings through me by way of providing services to his creation.
Allahu Akbar, right? You know, we plan, but Allah, you know, Allah's plan is better, right? And so, you know, just so beautiful that, you know, he used something, you know, that, you know, something that caught, you know, is painful, right? You know, just be real with it, right? Very painful, even going through, right? Even while he was alive, you know, just that time, even going through it while he was alive, you know, you and I have talked and had conversations. And the beautiful thing about you that I love is that you're transparent with people. You know, this is what he's going through. Like you were posting and you were just talking about just the entire process, and you were just, you know, just basically sharing with us at the time. I'm sure there was no idea, oh, I'm going to make this a business. You know what I mean? It was just you from the bottom of your heart, just sharing with us, hey, this is what I'm going through. Maybe there's someone else out there that may be going through the same thing. And, you know, through what I'm going through and maybe what you're going through, maybe we can heal and, excuse me, and grow together. And so that's what is so beautiful about this. It's also a testament to how Allah uses us, right? So, you know, like you said, you know, we've been on similar platforms. We're in the same industry, right? And, you know, we went to this conference, same conference, right? Mashallah. And you know what I mean? And, you know, we like, oh, this is what's going to happen. This is how I'm going to do it. And I will say to you the same way, sister, something that was painful in my life, you know, Allah has allowed my platform. It's a part of my platform. It's unexplained. And the beauty of that, it is actually keeps me connected to my faith. So the plan that he has for me keeps me connected to him. The plan that I had for myself might have veered me off, you know, the path just a little bit, right? So I, you know, one of the things that I want to talk about is what are the experiences that shaped you? So just speaking about, you know, that pain, are there other experiences that have shaped you into the woman that you are right now, or that have helped you move further along in your business than you may have done if you had gone it alone? So just inshallah, you know, elaborate on that.
So yeah, so first of all, definitely my husband's illness definitely shaped me. You know, first of all, the marriage with Antar shaped me because I came up, my mother and my father divorced. So I didn't have both my parents living in the household with me since the age of 5. And I did have a stepdad at a particular point in time, but I didn't have that in-home example of husband, wife, you know, the knowledge that the children get just from having the parents in the house. So I came into my marriage with a single mind mindset. I wanted to marry. I wanted to be a wife, my top goal in life. So my husband really helped raise me into my womanhood. He taught me how to be a wife. So he helped to raise me. So that definitely helped to shape my mind. Due to my husband's illness, I depended on my husband for a lot of things, and I'm okay with that. Like he helped me to think things through. He was my faith and my peace. So when Allah, like Allah stripped that away, my husband couldn't speak or move. So I had to think and navigate through things, and I bumped my head against the wall a thousand times. And I made a lot of errors during my husband's illness. But I was always genuine in my error. So I had to learn how to trust the law and really have faith in the law. And that was very hard because it's like if it's not in my hands to do, then it ain't going to happen. So I had to learn that Allah will provide. And there were many situations during my husband's illness where I literally could not think or produce for an outcome. And it came, Allah was sending lifelines to me by way of his service, by way of good people. So that definitely shaped me, right? And going through that process and building my muscle in the area of faith and trust in the law, it opened me up. Like even when it came to this business, like I went through my grieving process with in seclusion because my family was not here. So I went through my grieving process in my home without anyone. It was Allah and the angels were with me. And that's really all that I needed, right? Because just similar to Maryam, like when she was giving birth, there was no one there holding her hand. She was crying out to Allah. And Allah was there, the angels was there. So it was just very similar to me. Like I didn't birth a child, but I birthed my business by way of Allah and the angels' mercies, right? So that is really what really helped to mold and shape me. It was the pain of being alone. It was also I don't speak too much on this because I had to focus on the gratitude, but it's also the injustice I experienced as being my husband's wife and widow and being treated like I felt like I was a piece of meat by some people. Like I didn't feel like a wife. And I realized like this is some of the injustice that women experience. So being sensitive to some of that injustice made me more sensitive to the needs of others in ways that I was unaware of in the past. Oh yeah. So I had to begin thinking for myself. Like Antar was my go-to person. Brainstorm, strategizing, what you think. I have my own mind now. Don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like I have my own mind, but I use him a lot because he was wiser and he just gave me so much information and knowledge. So when I realized I cannot go to my husband anymore to get the advice, his protection was stripped away, his shield was stripped away. I was exposed to elements. I didn't know at the time, but I gradually began to learn that I have to go to Allah. Like I have to trust the law. And that was so hard because I realized like I really didn't fully trust the law. I didn't know how to trust the law. It was not like he was in front of, like I can't see him, right? So I had to elevate my faith. And Allah showed me, and it was painful. the trusting process. It was painful because I've made a lot of mistakes. I bumped my head. I've been through a lot. So what I've come to learn is that Allah is always with you, and that I see Allah as though he is here, right? Because he is. And Allah was able to give me signs and lifelines by way of his servants, from people sending me a couple of thousand dollars of in checks that helped to pay for something that I needed. And I'm like, how? Like, only Allah could have done that. Nothing. And I didn't have the energy to hustle or create a program or do business, because it was not that season. I didn't have it, because that's how I navigate my, if I need something, I know how to make it happen. I couldn't make it happen then. So pleaded to Allah and crying out to Allah and bumping my head and realizing my faith is weak. I realized that I had to, my faith had to grow, and I had people to help me who I trusted, some advisors. So that's one of the things that helped shape me. And I'll end with this, you know, when my husband was ill, I was exposed to certain elements that my husband protected me from. I knew my husband was a protector, but I didn't know how much he protected me until he couldn't protect me anymore, when I was exposed to certain elements. And what I realized was, like, women, not all, but women can get it really hard. And there could be some injustice towards women that I was never privy to before. And that made me very sensitive to the needs of women. Like, there was a point in time where I felt like I didn't feel like my husband's wife. I felt like I was treated like a piece of meat. And I never knew what that was like. So it exposed me to something that I wasn't privy to. So these are the things that did help to shape and guide me. But where I am now, I've been able to heal from that pain. So I don't come from that place anymore of pain. It's more of a place of abundance, positivity, and service. And this is going to sound like a cliche, but I feel like I'm living my life like it's golden right now. I'm just grateful. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you know, and, you know, part of this, you know, podcast, part of, you know, bringing women on is sharing the stories, because I think that sometimes we think that we're on an island by ourselves or that we are alone. And, you know, when I hear a story like Tahira's, I don't share your experience that you went through with your husband. I don't. But I can think of family members, and I can think of people who have, you know, lost their spouse and young, right? Because you're young still, right? Yeah. And, you know, lost their spouse, and then kind of what they go through. The part that I can relate to is the part where, you know, I didn't trust Allah. I'm with you, girl. I didn't trust Allah. My iman was weak. Girl, you know, may someone, you know, may someone who is listening, at least one person who is listening, may the iman be increased by what you have just said and what you have just shared with us. Ameen. So your business helps people at a very vulnerable time, as we've just established, and provide services that people are not necessarily ready to discuss. You know, as Muslims, you know, we are supposed to think of our death, and we are supposed to think of our death often, right? Easier said than done, right?
Yeah.
So your business is surrounding, you know, a topic that people may not be ready to talk about. How are you tackling the task of talking about this difficult topic?
It's a task that comes with a lot of sensitivity and mindfulness, and really going with the pace of the participant, because you cannot go ahead of them. You have to go with them side by side. So how we address it, we let them know that where you are is okay. And there's nothing wrong with how you feel, and there's nothing wrong with where you are. Like, you don't compare your grieving process to anyone else, because it's personal. It's really between you and Allah, and it's between you and your level of faith and trust with Allah. So in giving them that space to be okay with exactly where they are, that lays a foundation down to begin speaking about death. And most importantly, what we focus on, and particularly when I speak to the widows, because we work with the widows more so in depth, it's telling them it's okay to cry, telling them it's okay to grieve, but most importantly, reminding them of the gratitude, right? So I speak to the widows more so. The gratitude of you are blessed with a good husband. You are blessed with knowing good love that most people can never express, right? So focusing on the gratitude in which, and then taking that pain and sadness, understanding that death and life is a part of the cycle, right? That is the guarantee, 100%. We all know that is going to happen. And then focusing on how can we, understanding the death, understanding that we all will return to Allah. And when our love and return to Allah, now it's just in general, when our love and return to Allah, how the stages of the five stages of grief, there's a sixth stage that I learned about is the appreciation stage. And the appreciation stage is how grateful I am that I got to know this person, how grateful I am that Allah chose me, whether I'm the wife, the daughter, the sister, the mother, to have been blessed with this beautiful loan. And then taking the work that they've done and giving blessings on their behalf by doing work that's going to honor them and uphold their legacy. And this elevates them in the next life. This elevates them in the grave. So this is where the appreciation comes into play. Like, okay, I'm not disconnected from you. Like, we're forever connected. This love transfers. This love lives in my heart and lives in my spirit. So this is where we focus on when we move them through that deep grief and that deep sadness and that deep sorrow. So that's the high point of death, right? That low point, it really is being sensitive to their needs and not pushing your agenda on them, but letting them lead the agenda. If they don't want to talk about it, don't let them, they don't have to talk about it. If they want to talk about it, you listen to them. It's really about being of service to that family and to that person when they are really, really, really at their weakest and lowest point that they may ever experience in life. That's how we approach it. And alhamdulillah, we've been successful so far.
Mashallah, you know, jazakallah khair for that. You know, I have so many questions, and I know, you know, I try to keep these, you know, short so people can digest them over their lunch break. So,
yeah.
But, you know, like while you were speaking, one of the questions that, you know, came to mind is, you know, there are so many ways. This is a virtual janazah service, and you have other services outside of it. Like, you know, I think of people who are incarcerated, you know, being able to, you know, attend, you know, a loved one's funeral. Sometimes they get, you know, they ask to go to a funeral and it's declined, you know, by offering virtual janazah services. Kind of hard to get declined, you know, we just Absolutely. Need, you know, a Wi-Fi Absolutely. Connection. And I know you have some things in the works where you're working with the California penal system. I'm so proud of you. I cannot even, you know what I mean? So, you know, may Allah grant you tawfiq in that effort as well. So, you know, with all of this in mind, all of these services, you know, kind of coming together, your area of expertise coming in together, how can people begin the end of life conversation while they're still alive? We don't think we're leaving tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Like,
that's not what this is about. It's about preparing for it.
Yes.
Because like you said, you had to kind of become, you know, something that, you know, you weren't just yet, you know, as your husband was going through this process. So how can people begin the end of life conversation, and when should they begin talking about legacy and their end of life wishes, inshallah?
Great. Thank you for that direct question. So you want to start talking about that now. Like, if you are a parent and you have children, you need to have a meeting with your children. And if you're married, your husband, if your husband is not of the father of those children, you need to have a family meeting and express what your wishes are and let them know what your wishes are. And then you have to have it in writing. You have to have what your wishes are in writing. It needs to be notified. It needs to be witnessed. It needs to be dispersed to the responsible parties, to the people who you want to execute your wishes. If you are in a financial position, you need to have your attorney have a copy and get it certified. It's important that you have it in writing. I don't know the ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, but it talks about transcribing and putting it down into writing. So also, let's say that you are preparing to remarry, or you are in the process of premarital counseling. this needs to be a part of the conversation in the premarital counseling. Like this, that's when you begin it, because you need to know what your potential mate wishes are, and they need to know if you're able to handle and execute that. Because when a person is at, when a person's on their deathbed and they cannot advocate for themselves, you will have people that will assert themselves that were not appointed to try to execute your wishes. And you want to make sure that your wishes are executed the way you intended. Also, what needs to be put in place, you know, this is a topic of debate. I don't dive into the topic of debate. I just stay focused. You need to either have life insurance. You don't believe in life insurance. You need to at least have money in your savings so that your family can bury you and that your family can have some kind of financial comfort after you're gone. So these conversations are serious conversations. These is not to be played around like over a cup of coffee. It takes time. And if you don't feel comfortable talking to your family about it, then speak to an attorney or your doctor to get your documents in order. Because if your documents are not in order, what you're doing, you're causing a burden on your family. And you can prevent that burden if you understand that we, especially as Muslims and people of faith, we know that there's a next life. Although we love the good of this world, because there's a lot of good in this world, Allah gives us so much in this world, but we know that this is only temporary and that we're only passing through. It doesn't mean that we detach ourselves, but knowing that this is not the end goal. So we know that the paradise is the end goal. Then you have to prepare for that. And that's getting your affairs in order and having those tough conversations. And then if you don't know how to start those conversations, you can contact Hearts Connect and we can help navigate. We can help you to navigate through those conversations. So, but you have to have the conversations and you must have it in writing. You must.
MashaAllah, I was trying to look it up for you. I can't find it. But, it's okay. You know, inshallah, when I air this episode, inshallah, I'll try to have it like in the notes so you can, you know, go to the surah, inshallah, and, you know, you can look it up. But, you know, one of the things about, you know, Islam itself is that a lot of it is about the planning. Right. And so literally, like what you're doing is like you're living, you know, your work is an ayah, you know, literally, you know, of Quran. And you're, you know, just saying to people, hey, you know, you need to prepare for this. And, you know, one of the things is, you know, leaving debt behind and, you know, leaving things unfinished, you know, behind. That's one part of it. Right. So that's kind of like the negative, you know, part of the situation. And inshallah, your services are going to help people to kind of that not to happen. And then, you know, the positive side of it is that the money that you leave behind, whatever you leave behind, you know, the legacy that you leave behind, everything that stems from it, that's positive, that helps another Muslim, that is counting for you, you know, in the grave. It's counting for you in the hereafter. So, you know, if you're looking at it from a selfish standpoint, get your ducks in a row, you know, to help you, you know, while you're, you know, in the next, you know, realm, which is in the grave, right? So in the next realm, in the grave, get you some things that are going to help you then. And, you know, bi'idhnillah, on yawm al-qiyamah, that'll help you, you know, to tip the scales in your favor, you know, inshallah. Girl, you done said a whole bunch. I would love to like keep you on here. And while you were speaking, I was thinking of this. I would love to have you come back on because one of the other conversations, inshallah, is a service. I know that you, it's not a current service of yours, but I know we've talked and it's something that you will add later, which you talked about, which is the whole life insurance piece and just kind of having, you know, dialogue around that. So I would love to bring you back on another episode just talking about that particular you know, aspect, inshallah. So who are these services for? So we kind of, you know, touched on it a little bit, but I want you to say specifically who are these services for, because you don't just serve one person. Right. You serve you know, many different people and entities. So can you tell us a little bit more about that, inshallah?
Yes. So when it comes to the virtual services, like in the free world, if you will, like we serve the faith-based community of all different religions and spiritual paths. That's who we serve. We also have another industry where we serve the prison population. We serve those who are incarcerated who cannot attend a loved one's funeral. And that is a wide variety of different backgrounds. And we also serve widows, Muslim widows and women of faith. We provide grief recovery support for the widows. And we also have our Transcending Grief coaching program where we serve the families who attend our virtual services. And it's open to all, from whether they're women or men. We provide the coaching for them.
Mashallah, mashallah. You know, may Allah grant you tawfiq. And I told you this in class, and I'm going to tell you here live for everyone to hear it. You know, may Allah grant you tawfiq, and may He increase you with the knowledge. May He increase you with more of the resources that you need. And, you know, may more people come to know you and the services that you are offering, and may they receive the full depth of the benefit of your entire, you know, business. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Anyone listening, anyone watching this later, say ameen.
Say ameen. So,
ameen. Listen, honey. So this is a question that we ask on this program, because this is all about faith, right? Is there an ayah, a hadith, or a quote that governs you, your life, or the way that you conduct your business, or both?
Gotcha. So there's definitely an ayat that I came across, like, I want to say less than a month and a half ago. I was playing Surah to Aaron on YouTube with my big television in the living room. And I heard this line. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? This is for me. I need this. And it's Surah to Aaron, Surah to 3. And it's ayat 37. And is the last line where it says, this is where Maryam, may Allah be pleased with her, she was given birth, and Allah provided her with provisions. And Zechariah came in and asked, where'd you get this tray from? And this is what she said, from Allah, for Allah provides substance to whom He pleases without measures. That is what governs my life. I do slip sometimes from that space, but that is a place that I know, because this is what I say. I don't work for myself. I don't work for Hearts Connecting. I'm not my own boss. I work for Allah. Allah is my boss, and Allah compensates me. And there are things that I can provide services, or I can spend time with someone who may not compensate me financially, but I say Allah compensates me. So when I do the work, I don't do the work to look for the money first. I do the work to serve, because I know Allah provides. He provides without measures. And I really believe that. I believe that. And I trust this ayat.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, right? So you know, beautiful. And I love what you said, that, you know, my sustenance comes from Allah. And, you know, when we think of the word sustenance, of course, we're thinking about dollars, right? Sustenance can mean so much. Sustenance can mean our food. Sustenance can mean the people, the resources coming to us. It can mean literally any and everything, right? So just
it can mean a mate
that,
if you're single and if you're looking for a husband or wife, come on now.
Come on!
I know. I'm at that point in my life now.
We gotta make dua for each other. Listen, the episode that's coming after yours, we're gonna talk a little bit about that, what you just said.
Inshallah. Right now.
Listen, honey. Okay. So, inshallah. So, now, last question. You led into it when you talked about the word boss, right? So this is the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast. You know, this is the podcast for Muslim women. And specifically, I wanted it to be for, you know, women of faith, and visibly covered Muslim women, because I feel like we don't see enough of us, you know, out there. And so that's why it's called the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast. For those of you who don't know, it used to be called the Boss Muslimapreneur podcast. And then when I went back and I thought about it, I was like, no, I want to be intentional about, you know, what we're doing here. Right.
Yeah.
So what does it mean to you? Nothing to do with me, to you,
right,
to be a boss hijabipreneur, inshallah.
Okay, before I answer that question, your scarf looks so fly, it looks so rich and bright. Them colors are popping. Okay.
Well, listen, before we went live, I talked about Tahira's sweater. So if we are bigging each other up, girl, I was like, girl, that sweater, okay? When you finish with it, you could just mail it on to me, okay? Shukran.
I got you. Just I'll be in New York in June. We got to in January. So we got to catch up for sure. Yep. So for me, it's interesting that you say this topic, because I spoke to a sincere advisor regarding language for my business. And I'm just going to be really transparent. And I said that I don't serve just the Muslims. I serve people of faith. So I changed the language a bit. And it was not Muslims and people of faith. I serve people of faith. And I was concerned, like, I don't want people to think I'm selling out. I don't want people to think that I'm selling out. And I realized, like, no, I'm visibly Muslim. I'm not taking off my headscarf. I'm not removing my clothing to fit in. I'm just tweaking the language to serve humanity. So to me, Boss Hijabi means a sister who shows up as she is, proud, confident, covered, and serving. You can be Muslima, you can be a hijabi, and you don't have to quote the Quran and Hadith to prove that that's who you are. It's who you are in your character. It's who you are in your spirit. It's who you are in your demeanor. Most importantly, it's who you are in your works. That to me is what it means to me.
I love it. Jazakallah khair. And I love that. You know, I have nothing to prove, nothing to prove, nothing to defend. I think that was Lisa Nichols that said that. You know, I have nothing to prove. I have nothing to defend. It was either her or Yana Van Zandt. You know, it was one of them too, because I love, you know, the two of them. And, you know, basically, you know, just, you know, I don't have to be anybody else. I can just show up as myself. And as showing up as yourself, the Islam oozes out of you. Whoever, whatever you got going on, whatever's involved in who Tahira Jenna Talabdin is, will show up right along with you. And you know what, something, I always knew that your name was Jenna. I always knew it was Tahira Jenna, but it didn't dawn on me until I was choosing the topic for this episode, just the impact of what you're doing and your name.
And it's Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Listen, I appreciate you. I can say I appreciate you. I told Halima, I'm gonna say this. I know time is winding down. When my husband passed away, that first week after he passed away, Allah revealed, I was inspired that Sister Halima is going to help me. That came to me that first week. I was broken. I said, I know she's going to help me. It was a vision, it was an image. And I just want to say how you representing, you remaining consistent, you showing up as a Muslim woman and being of service, like how much that gave me strength and confidence to not compromise who I am and to show up in my full purpose. So you are such a beautiful example to myself and I know to so many other women. And I'm just so appreciative that Allah used you to be a great example and inspiration for us. And I can't say enough how much I love you and how much I appreciate you. And I really value the space that we're sharing, and I value the relationship. Like I can go on and on, because I love to love and I love to compliment, but I'll end there. Like, you're truly appreciated and you really are a good blessing to us.
Alhamdulillah.
May Allah continue to increase you. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Listen, I was in tears within Atlanta. And I was in tears in Atlanta because Allah takes us down all of these pathways, and He takes us, you know, through the valleys, you know, and brings us back up. And every time I'm in this space, and whether it's me doing this podcast or like I was in the room, you know, speaking in the room, I cry. Whether it's to myself, some people don't see the tears, but I'm crying, you know, to myself. It's because 7 years ago, I was not even close to anything to do with any of this. Mm-hmm. And so, Alhamdulillah, I'm so thankful that you guys are appreciative of me, but yeah. I'm more appreciative to even be in this space, to even be able to be here, to even be able to utter Allah's name, to even be able to utter La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Wallahi. So, Jazakallah khair, you know, so much. This episode is about you, so we're not going to shed these tears, okay?
No.
But I do want to share. I always share like an inspirational quote, you know, during the episode. And I want to share this particular one with all of you. And I think that it speaks to, you know, maybe some of the things that we go through and we don't necessarily know what's happening, but then it kind of comes full circle. So God's presence during hardship is illustrated in the Hadith. One day I was riding with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "Young man, I will teach you some words. Be mindful of God and He will take care of you. Be mindful of him, and you shall find him at your side. If you ask, ask of God. If you need help, seek it from God. Know that if the whole world were to gather together in order to help you, they would not be able to help you except if God had written it so. And if the world were to gather together in order to harm you, they could not harm you except if God had written so. The pens have lifted and the pages have dried. Etidmadi. I'm telling you, my sister, I wrote that long before this episode, you know, came, and before I heard anything of what you were going to be able to say. And so, you know, that is just a testament that everything, Allah is the master weaver, and he is just, fashioner is actually one of his names, and he is just guiding all of this, mashallah. You've got some, you know, I am proud of her, Allahu Akbar, and some proud of you. Proud of you both. Alhamdulillah. So those are the comments that are coming through. Tahira, I want to say Jazakallah khair for one, for being here and gracing us with your time. But I want to say two, Jazakallah khair for doing the work that you do, and for being courageous and vulnerable at the same time. Mashallah. And please let us know where, you know, anyone that is listening or watching, where they can connect with you, where they can find your services and all that good stuff. Inshallah.
Gotcha. So you can go to heartsconnecting.com and you can find all of our services on that website. You can find our social media information on the website, heartsconnecting.com, heartsconnecting.com.
Mashallah, mashallah, mashallah. All of her link will be in the podcast notes. So you guys are privy here on Facebook. You get to watch this long before it airs. So her episode won't air until the last week of December. So if you're watching this now, make sure you share it with a few people once it airs, and because it may disappear. So this live of us being, you know, FaceTime may disappear. So make sure you share it with as many people as you can, inshallah. So Jazakallah khair again to Hero for being here. Next time on the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast, episode 61, we will inshallah have Estella Rodriguez Jabril, and we will be talking about finding your man and building your wealth. So
look, the ring. Oh my God. I removed the ring. It was hard.
How long did it take you?
It took me today, because I wear it. Yeah, like let me just say, I take the wedding ring off in the house. I do put the wedding ring on in person because I don't want people to flock. But now I'm like, I'm taking it off, but I have my eye on someone, so I'm just saying.
May Allah, ameen. We just gonna say ameen. Everybody say ameen.
Say ameen. Okay? He don't know yet, but he gonna know soon.
Listen, ameen. May Allah make it so. May, you know, ameen. He be, you know, the best for you in this life and the next. Ameen. And vice versa, right? So may it be you as well. You know, listen, honey. I love it, love it, love it. Listen, we getting all of the scoop. We getting all of the tea. Let me tell you something. All of the tea is happening over here on the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast.
For real.
Let me tell you something.
This will not be in the blog. This will not be off Instagram yet. But it is what it is right now.
Mashallah. So inshallah. Jazakallah khair for being here. We will see you the next time on the Boss Hijabipreneur podcast. Please be sure to go ahead and follow Tahira J. Talib Dean at Hearts Connecting on all platforms, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum assalam.
This has been another spectacular episode of Boss Hijabipreneur, brought to you by BUNHD LLC and the Not Without My Hijab stage play. To find out more about services for women of faith in business and the next city up on the tour, visit www.bunhd.com. It is our hope here at BUNHD that after each episode, you will be empowered to have a deeper connection in your spirituality, personal, and business relationships. As women of faith, we have a responsibility to learn our religion, apply it to our daily lives, and to make a positive contribution in our local and global communities.